Welcome to the Secured Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Matrenga. We have our co-host, Mike Monsiv with ASAP Security and M6 Global Defense. Thank you for joining us. We've got some topics we want to discuss with you today. We're going to do a series of topics. If you can't tell, I'm feeling pretty festive today. I've got my Cuba Vera shirt on. It's a Friday. I'm feeling pretty motivated.
I was ready for you to show up with a guitar and start playing for us.
I could possibly do that if you'd like.
Well, we definitely need to get that on video.
I also have, for festivities and for, you know, just to keep things in check for me, I have on my green Converse, if you guys can't see that. Green Converse in memory of Matei Rodriguez, who was tragically killed in Uvalde. And I wore these today for the simple fact that I need to continue to remind myself why I do this, right? Yep. And, you know, over the last 2-3 weeks, I've been pretty observant. And I've made a couple statements on LinkedIn that have been very direct. And, you know, sometimes when you're very direct with people, they can kind of take it maybe the wrong way or they become offended. And I had an overwhelming sense of responses from people from not only our industry, but from various industries saying, hey, it was a breath of fresh air to hear someone talk about the facts, talk about the truth. That's not, you know, let's not play like this is a fairy tale land. And so, you know, when you kind of launch some of that stuff into the social media world, sometimes you have these like, oh, should I have said that? But at the end of the day, the question I have for you guys or some of our coworkers in the space is, why are you not saying this stuff? And I'm putting some of you on notice, like I'm calling you out. Why are you sitting back and you watching all of these things transpire in the industry that you know are not proven products, you know they're not proven tactics. You've seen venture capital groups starting to infiltrate this space through means of legislation. Why are you sitting back and allowing this and not speaking the truth? If we're gonna be called to be guardians, we need to be guardians all the time, right? And so I wear my green Converse today to remember that it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about your feelings. It's about doing what's right for our kids, for our staff that go to school every day to teach America's youth, to teach the future of America, the new fabric of America. And so if anything that I've said over the last couple of weeks got you in your feelings a little bit, I'm not sorry for that. You probably needed to hear that. So I'm going to continue to talk like that. And we've got a couple topics that we've you know, written down that we want to talk about. One of them being responsive versus proactive. And we always talk about that. We hear, you know, this is responsive, this is proactive. What does that look like? And so, you know, let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a good amount of our time that we spend when we're consulting or actually implementing systems or you know, engaging with a client, time and time again, we've proven that there are always indications that someone is struggling mentally. There's something bothering them, and ultimately that leads to some type of catastrophic event. And afterwards, you have people that are sitting there in the media saying, "Oh, well, you know, I knew this, I saw this, yeah. I did this," and it's always after the event. But they didn't speak up, they didn't say anything, and so you know we're seeing legislation, you know, driving ways to report that, and that's great. That's happening. But, you know, time and time again, we're also seeing where the response is, let's just put more officers in schools,
yeah.
Right? We've seen in the state of Texas, for example, the amount of open positions for school resource officers, mm-hmm. officers on campus remains unfilled because there is not physically enough officers to fill these positions that are jamming in there.
Let's talk about that, right? Yeah. So, you know, you had HB3 passed here by the Texas governor, which basically says, hey, we're going to put an officer in every campus, right? Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that HB3 was passed for political gain and for political reasons, you know? And so all of you that are out there saying, oh, you know, Texas did a great job. They jumped out ahead and they put an officer in every campus. Follow that question up with, why didn't you fund it? Why was it not funded? If you want to make a difference, if you're going to do something and you want to use that as a platform to get more votes in the voting booth in November, then fund it.
Right.
You know, don't give an exception. Don't say, hey, we passed a bill so that it sounds like a good talking point for your political campaign. Fund it if you really want to make a difference. Sorry,
right. And right now, every single solitary district in the nation is reeling from a deficit moving into 25, mm-hmm. right? So the 24-25 school year, every single solitary district in the nation is trying to figure out how to cover it up because they all got used to COVID money.
That's their
funds. And the COVID money is going away, right? And so they got really used to that. Well, now you couple that with that going on plus enrollment down, right, overall. And so they're not receiving the same amount of state funds. Then you took this huge money of federal funds coming out of there, and now they got to figure out where they got to do this. Then Texas layers on and says, oh yeah, there's a new requirement. You need to put an officer in every single one, and we're not going to give you any money for it. Reality is that not only was that political and it not funded, at the exact same time, schools are now have the biggest deficit to try to cover
right.
at the same time. So not only was it a bad idea to not fund it, but now with the current financial situation these schools are in, it's not practical.
Yeah.
Like, and they're already cutting teachers. Like, we had problems finding
teachers.
Well, they're
cutting teachers, and now, exactly. Now we know that we've had a nationwide shortage.
Yep.
And because we can't find them
right.
to fill the positions, now you're cutting them.
Now you're cutting them because you don't have the money.
Not because you don't have the money, because you did not account for not having the money
the
that
funds.
Was not sustainable.
Correct.
And you knew that when you started taking that money. You knew that this was not a sustainable thing. You can't build your budget on funds that you know is not sustainable.
Correct.
So there's some blame to go around all over.
I would agree. I mean, it was poor planning.
Yeah.
But ultimately, who's going to suffer? It's the kids.
The kids, for
right?
sure.
And
yeah.
so the only logical solution is if you have to cut teachers because of the budget, what's going to happen to the class sizes?
Yeah.
Right? So class sizes are going to get bigger.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Which means we have less adults in school managing more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's never a good situation. And then you turn around and start adding all of these layers. And it's not just HB3 with just the officer side. It's all the other systems, the minimum requirements, and all mm-hmm. the stuff that they put out there. And unfortunately, this is just a political checkbox to say,
yeah.
oh, well, we've set a minimum standard.
Right.
And this school didn't comply. Well, you didn't fund it. Like
yeah.
they didn't have the means to do that.
Right.
It's not like schools are flush with cash.
Let's play fairy tale land, because that seems
sure.
to be, you know,
where
the industry standard right now is everything's fairy tales, right? Unproven products, theoretically based, you know, and then they're selling products or services that just, quite frankly, there's not a need for it.
Sure.
Right. So let's play fairy tale land, and let's say that, you know, the state actually funded HB3.
Right.
Okay. Is an officer on every campus enough? And the answer is absolutely not.
How many officers were at Uvalde?
Close to 400.
400.
Yeah.
Right. And it took over an hour?
77 minutes. But
right.
let's
to
go
enter
back,
a room.
Right? Let's
so
go
what
back.
Is one officer going to do?
Well, let's go back, right? Let's go way back. If the answer to mass shootings in America, not just in schools, was more officers, then why haven't we been able to prevent? Let's go back to schools, right? Let's start talking about historical data. Let's go back to Columbine. Let's talk
about... Wait, let's start right there at Columbine.
Okay.
There was an officer on site.
Didn't prevent anything.
Not only did not prevent, he didn't even go towards the building where the shooting was happening.
No, that's Parkland.
Parkland, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're talking about Parkland.
Right.
I'm gonna get there. So let's go to Columbine.
Okay,
you know,
Columbine.
The kind of the grandfather of all incidents that's led to this craziness. Right? Let's go to the Amish shooting, Pennsylvania Amish. Let's go to Sandy Hook. We can get into that, and we're going to talk about silent panic alarms. Some of the victims' families are pushing for silent panic alarms. The question I have for you, would that have prevented the death of your child? No, it would not have. So why are we promoting that?
Right.
Right? And so let's go back. Sandy Hook. Then we go to Parkland. Then we go to Santa Fe. Then we go to Uvalde. Then we go to, you know, all of these other incidents that have happened since May 22 of since Uvalde. Tell me which one of them
was
prevented by a law enforcement officer on that campus. And listen to me. I want to be abundantly clear. I am not saying we should not have officers on campus. We absolutely should have officers on campus.
It's very important to make that.
The National Association of School Resource Officers does a very good job setting a standard. I absolutely believe that.
But it is very important to make that distinction. 100%. We are not saying that officers on campus are
not a
good
thing.
That's
no,
not
at all.
That's not
fact,
what we're
we
saying
should
at
have
all.
Officers on
absolutely.
Campus. But what I'm getting at is that school boards, politicians, administrators, even officers in some police departments think that that's enough. It's not enough. You have to find out what the intent of the person is before they want to commit the crime.
Correct.
Or commit the offense or the murder, whatever it is.
Well,
and
when you have actionable intel, right?
You have to act
you
on
have
it
to
effectively,
act on it,
efficiently.
Right?
You can't wait.
So we know one of the superintendents that we deal with, you know, they had actionable intel and the great lengths that they had to go to get the agencies to engage, even though they had the intel. And I firmly believe that if that superintendent hadn't personally got involved, wasn't on site till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, that nothing would have happened. And that their actions ultimately led to stopping a potential incident. But why should that superintendent have to go to that level? Why didn't the law enforcement agencies, the mental health resources engage when you had an actionable intel? Now, that school district specifically prevented a potential incident based off of being proactive. They had intel, they got stuff coming in, they had done their research, they had done a workup, they had interviewed other witnesses, other friends and associates, and had built the information and knew that there was a potential problem. Mm-hmm. And before it became an incident, got that child help, mm-hmm. right? And that's what it takes. And that's what prevention looks like.
I mean, you used to work with me back in 2018 through 2020. My phone was on 24/7. We were out late at night. You know, that's what it takes. I've said this time and time again. Well, if you want to be a police chief, you want to be an SRO, you want to be an administrator, you want to be a school security director or a school safety director, your clock, you don't end. Your service and your work and your obligation and oath doesn't stop at 5 p.m.
or 3:30
or 3:30 or 3 in the morning.
Right.
It's a 24/7 job because that's the world that we live in. And if you're not committed to that, don't get involved. Do not take that job for the title or for the money, because you're going to end up with egg on your face looking like a fool.
And don't let this go to your head.
Because it will burn you.
Don't let this go to your head. Uh-oh. But I mean, obviously, you know, that's one of those like aha moments where I knew that you were doing things different, right? Mm-hmm. And it was, I recall a specific situation where you had gotten involved middle of the night with someone who had suicidal tendencies, mm-hmm. right? And you were at the home. You had gotten resources out there, and I even remember recalling the conversation with a police chief later about like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
you're here in the middle of the night, right? And it was a level of care and dedication that I hadn't seen before, right? It was great to see. I mean, you truly cared about the kids and everything else. And what I thought was really interesting is some of the stuff that you fought there and in your position was people trying to understand what it was, because what you were doing was so different.
And they've never seen that type of commitment
they
before.
Hadn't. And some people saw that as overarching, but the people who really knew what was going on, and even the community members that had been affected, the lives that had been saved, those people became like real cheerleaders for what you were doing and real activists to promote you and what you were doing. Right?
I think that's important for people like us. If you're a school safety director out there, you're a school security director out there, don't apologize for who you are. Don't apologize for being committed at that level, to being on call 24/7, to showing up to a house at 3 a.m. because a kid wants to commit commit suicide or harm someone else. Don't apologize for being overly engaged, because that is what it's going to take. Well, that is what you're supposed to do.
There's the old saying of it takes a village,
it
right?
does, yeah.
to raise a child, and it really does. And a village sometimes is a school, right?
Yeah.
It is all of those adults. It's all of those people have to care for that individual through their formative years mm-hmm. when they're dealing with all of the things that are going on in their body, their emotions, their mind in the development stage. And it's to get them on the right track. And that's what this is about, right? And there's so many signs and so many telltale things in the kids. Kids wear this stuff on their sleeves. Like you can see it. You can see it in their attendance and their behavior and their grades and how they interact with others, how they interact socially with boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever. It's there. And it takes observant, caring, committed adults to yeah. make a difference in that child's
you
life.
You know, I had this conversation yesterday, and I, you know, I'm a former government guy, so we have acronyms, right?
For everything.
And it's just easier for me. And I think it's easier for some individuals to understand, right? We talk about, you know, the three Fs, and I'm going to trademark that. You know, if anybody's using it, watch yourself. But the three Fs, right, is the foundation, the framework, and the finishes. You know, it's just like building a house. This is how this should be done, you know. But too often what we see is, you know, companies, predatory tactics being deployed on the uninformed buyer, where they're trying to sell you the finishes before you even have a foundation.
Well,
right?
Well, so,
what's the foundation?
So before you even get in there, it really starts before that, right? So there's so many different agencies, let's say even outreach that are maybe even formed by victims' families, mm-hmm. and they are doing great things, but a lot of times they put together procedures or they pass, you know, some type of goodwill that they're going to use some type of technology, panic buttons, secondary locks, some type of process or procedure. Mm-hmm. And the intent the isn't good in nature, right? But they don't necessarily involve people from the industry or experts that specifically deploy technology or even have emergency management in there. And so what ends up happening is it's kind of like they're operating in a vacuum. And so in the wall, in the four walls where they're sitting down at the table, and victims' families and some, you know, different people within their team sit down and they lay something out, and then that goes and it gains traction nationally. And then all of a sudden some politician picks it up and then mandates it for an entire state. And then comes the predatory companies who read the lines and go, I can throw together a widget and I'm gonna get out there and I'm put a ton of marketing dollars in it and I'm gonna get it in front of all these schools and I'm going to do this.
They're
going to
get it in front of a bunch of schools by hiring lobby groups.
They do. Absolutely. And then what is ultimately deployed becomes yet another widget, another thing. So let's talk about like specifically silent panic alarms, right? Because that's something that all of the schools have been dealing with. Like it ties to Alyssa's Law, right?
Yep.
And so a lot of schools have adopted that. And so let's break it down like elementary level, right? So does a panic alarm in a school make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It does.
Check, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many schools, even starting at the front counter, at the front desk, have a way to initiate a panic alarm?
Not a lot.
Very, very few. So that's like pure basics. That's a manned position, right?
Yep.
So if we look at any other type of manned guarded facility, right? Command and control is in
right
a
there.
SOC or a security office,
yep.
or there's a guard, there's somebody there. The ladies and gentlemen who work in the front office.
Gold.
They
know everything.
They know everything. If you want to know anything
yeah.
going on in a school.
Ask the front office
the
lady.
The front office ladies know.
Yeah.
If you can peel them out of the front office
yeah.
and sit them down in a room and have a conversation with them,
yeah.
you can know everything that's going on.
What do the
kids
say? They have the tea. That's like the new deal. Like, I mean, maybe it's like a year or two old, but they have the tea.
Right.
The front office lady has the tea on everything.
On everything.
You want to know who's cheating on who?
Absolutely.
You want to know who's getting divorced?
Absolutely.
You want to know
if the girlfriend can pick up so-and-so or
who's gone to the doctor's office?
Whatever.
You know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
They got all the information.
The front office lady is one of the most important people in the school.
And time again,
that's true.
We see those individuals receive less training than some of the teachers.
Or less credibility. It's just they're just the secretary.
Yeah, they know what's going on.
This woman or this person, it's not always a woman. You know, I'm being sexist. I apologize. Please don't cancel me.
Let's be honest. It's predominantly a woman.
Predominantly a woman,
it is.
Right?
Let's call a spade a spade. It is what it is.
But a lot of the times, people overlook the value of those individuals. Those individuals, and this is what we talk about the foundation, or the four Ps, the people, the planning, the process, the product, or the process and the product can be switched depending upon, you know, what you got going on. But it all starts with the people, right?
It does.
And maybe it's an SRO. Great. Do I believe that they have a tremendous value in building relationships and bridging those gaps between community and law enforcement? 100%. But it has to start with the people. It starts with relationships. It starts with, I hate to say the term, intel gathering, right? You have to be pulling in multiple data points so that you can assess what the pulse of your campus is.